Welcome to Behind the Great Wall on the SOH Network. I'm Daniel Tang. The China we know today is a leading world power, but behind its influence, behind its wealth, and behind its political power stands the Chinese people, who in modern times face a range of social, political, and economic issues. On Behind the Great Wall, our team of SOH reporters in China brings you their voices and their stories. In this episode, 2,000 demonstrators in Shantou Township inspired by the protests in Wukan Village, and train passengers to be ID tagged by authorities. But first, the treasury of the Chinese authorities is growing faster than the rate of GDP growth. This is ringing alarm bells and raising questions as to how the country's economic future is sustainable. Data from the Ministry of Finance revealed tax revenue from January to November 2011 totaled 9.7 trillion yuan. That's 1.5 trillion US dollars. What's astounding is the fact that this was actually a 2 trillion yuan increase over the same period last year, nearly 26.8%. Experts are concerned that huge jumps in tax revenue will put greater pressure on private citizens and businesses, as regular Chinese struggle to support not only themselves, but the country and also the coffers of Chinese officials. Trevor Piper with more.
Thanks, Daniel. Professor Li Weiguang of Tianjin University's Finance and Economics Department believes China's tax system is unfair and in desperate need of reform. He believes reducing taxes as early as possible is a priority. Li outlined the current tax system to us. Currently in China, direct tax makes up 70% of the total. Why is the price of goods so high? Besides inflation, there is another issue. Indirect taxes are being passed down to people and are reflected through the price of merchandise. In manufacturing, the tax burden is high as well, and much of the tax is paid indirectly. The tax is passed down the distribution channels to consumers, and consumers can't pass it along. Tax on manufacturers is high as well, which is harmful to small medium enterprise and to small business. We have seen many small businesses struggle this year, and many of them can't continue anymore. Li claims the tax rate in China is rising too fast and the tax burden is swelling. But representatives of the Ministry of Finance and State Administration of Tax say the tax rate is light. Li had this to say in response. It's not just up to the government to say if the tax rate is too high. We need to look at the feeling among businesses and the public and see how the macro economy is running. We have conducted studies this year and found the same results. It is too biased to say the tax burden is not high. We need reform of indirect tax. Reform can't wait any longer. The people created the wealth, but it's wasted on politics. Much of the wealth is allocated to areas unrelated to the people's welfare. This is like the former Soviet Union. We are following the steps of the Russians. Under the current tax system, there are three types of taxes which are classified as indirect or transfer tax. They are value-added tax, consumption tax, and business operating tax. Among the three, the value-added tax is the biggest, accounting for about 39.5% of all revenue in 2010. The percentage of consumption tax and business operating tax accounts for around 10% and 14% respectively. According to Li, most developed countries use direct tax, meaning the current system in China is unfair. Our current system is unreasonable. Adjusting it is cumbersome and needs a lot of management. A big part of it is adjusting the percentage of direct tax overall, which is difficult. It requires good cooperation between the tax collector, taxpayers, the public, and businesses. It can only be done when there is a cordial relationship between the government and people, which we do not have at present. The rate of tax increase is over 20% and far surpasses the GDP growth rate, which only leads to resentment from the public overall. Some scholars believe the real tax burden comes from government funds, administrative fees, and other forms of government revenue. A person's utility bill goes to the Three Gorges Dam, his water bill goes to wastewater treatment, and money collected at market stalls goes to the vegetable basket fund. People's daily lives are flooded with expenses. Li says, if you include government funds, administrative fees, and proceeds from land sales, all these account for 35% of the macro taxes. All the proceeds to the government are considered taxes, and they are mandatory. so we need to include them in working out the level of tax. Our universities and hospitals are mostly public, and if they charge high tuition or medical charges, that is an extra burden for residents and is therefore a tax. The overall tax burden is a percentage of government income over GDP. Using this calculation, and in light of an increase in government revenue which far surpasses GDP growth, the overall tax burden in China is about 34%. Trevor Piper, SOH Network. And now, back to Daniel.
You are listening to Behind the Great Wall on the SOH Network. I'm Daniel Tang. An eerie peace has settled over Wukan village in Guangdong province, which was the scene of incredible protests which drove officials out from the village. On December 18th, the incidents at Wukan inspired another village in Guangdong province as well, this time in Shantou City. The villagers were inspired to take up a protest against officials who've also been seizing land from villagers as well.
Over 2 days, 2,000 people spurred on by the human rights protests in Wukan village gathered in Sheng Dai Mei village in Shantou City, Guangdong province. Their demands were identical to Wukan villagers' demands. Stop corrupt officials from selling village land. Local authorities sent over 40 people to intercept the villagers, arresting 2 people. Over the past few years, around 500 acres of land were sold by village officials with no compensation being given. A Sheng Dai Mei villager said, "They went today, about 400 people, just standing on the national highway from 8 to 12. The police came and arrested some people, but couldn't stop them because some were old and there were women too." On the 18th, the villagers held up a banner that said, "Determined to strike disorder and violations. The officials are wrong. The officials press down the people." They marched to the town government and met no resistance from police. It's believed the majority of the force was assigned to Wukan, the villager said. "They all yelled, 'Give me back my land.' The government did not react. The villagers said they will protest to the end. 'We're not going anywhere. We will bring tents. If they do not respond, we will be there forever.' Another villager said, 'Today they were disturbed. They are the Communist Party.' The villagers spoke about the officials who squandered money in Shantou through land sales. "The village cadres all got promoted, and they never spent a day in the office. Every day they used the land proceeds to buy titles, cars, houses, until it's all gone. Everything belonging to the production brigade is gone. The petty officials and major officials are all making money. They sold 493 acres. Now 0.16 acres is worth 1 million. Reporters called Xinan Township Police Station. The officer on duty said he did not know about the situation. "I just came back to work today. I haven't come in for 20 days. The villagers have already protested for several months. Thousands protested at the town government on November 7th. They say they are not afraid of threats or arrests. They already have no food. What else can happen?" Rich Crankshaw, SOH Network.
China's Ministry of Railways plans to make everyone who buys a train ticket use their real names and present their ID cards. Authorities say the measure is meant to ease the difficulty of buying tickets and curb ticket scalping. But many Chinese are convinced that it's another means for the Chinese Communist Party to strengthen its surveillance over the people, and it's simply a more sophisticated way of suppressing dissent. Rich Crankshaw with this story.
The policy comes on the heels of a December 16th announcement of a real name registration system for Sina Weibo, China's largest microblog. Existing users are required to re-register with their real names and personal information within 3 months. The system will begin on the first day of next year, according to an announcement last week. The Ministry of Railways says the system will require all passengers in China to buy tickets with their own ID cards and enter the platform and train with both tickets and their ID cards. According to Mr. Zong of Guangzhou City, the system implemented by the Ministry of Railways is not for the interest of the public, but to meet the authorities' demand to monitor the people. "Most people are not aware of the party's motivations for acquiring information on the population," according to Ms. Tong from Sichuan Province. She claims curbing ticket scalping is just an excuse. Under the system, passengers have to register online with their ID cards to buy tickets. Ms. Tung added, "Through the internet, it will be easy for the police to control the whereabouts of people, especially those who are monitored. Many Falun Gong practitioners, for example, are kidnapped and persecuted by the police when they stay in hotels because they use ID cards to check in, alerting the police to their presence," she said. With the new move, human rights supporters and advocates will not be able to travel by train anonymously. Ma Ya Lian, a petitioner from Shanghai who was featured on Behind the Great Firewall, says, "The system means petitioners would have no opportunity to speak out and police would be able to intercept them." The same drive of monitoring train passengers is what's driving authorities to monitor the Sino-Weibo microblogging service. According to Pu Fei of the China Skynet Human Rights Service, Weibo is a great threat to the CCP. Many pro-democracy activists publish their words there. The CCP is terrified of such freedom of speech, so the aim of implementing the real name registration on Weibo is to meet the demand to control people, to fulfill their desire for controlling people. Rich Craikshaw, SOH Network.
And that brings an end to Behind the Great Wall for this week. If you'd like to listen or download our podcast, you can visit behindthegreatwall.sohnetwork.com. There, you can also read our transcript, listen to previous episodes, and link to other programs on the SOH Network. Also, if you have any comments or queries, feel free to leave a message on our main website. That's Behind the Great Wall for December 29th, 2011. And I'm Daniel Tang of the SOH Network. Happy New Year, everyone!